let's get started in class. And if anybody has any questions about that, you can ask at the end of class. All right? Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. It says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it came to pass. Now, when the scripture says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, because there's a way you could be married before you what? Deal sexually with her, right? That's why it says, and married her. When it says, and marry her, meaning he had sexual relations, and now the marriage is confirmed. When you're betrothed, like what we were going over last night, and you make that agreement with the father, you're technically already what? Married. You technically are married. But the marriage is not fully consummated until when? Until you have the sexual relations. So when a man have taken a wife and married her, so it's showing us this man laid down with the woman, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it her hand, and send her out of his house. So this is what the Pharisees were quoting when they asked Christ, can we put a woman away? Can we divorce a woman for every reason, for any reason? And Christ asked them, what did Moses say? They quoted this. They said, Moses said we could write a bill of divorcement. Christ said, for the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this law, this precept. What that means is that all along, the Most High has been explaining to us what marriage is, but you have wicked among our people that explicitly needed to be explained that the only reason they could divorce a woman is if she committed what? The sin of adultery. Now, someone reading this is going to say, whoa, they didn't say adultery at all in this verse. It didn't say that. Yes, it did. You got to pay attention. When it said that if she find, his wife finds no favor in his eyes, the word favor means that he's not going to show her any kind of mercy anymore. No favoritism of any kind. Because this is the reason why he's not going to show her mercy. Because he had found some uncleanness in her. That uncleanness that he found means that he found that she is what? Defiled. How did she become defiled? By committing the sin of adultery. The sin of fornication. Hold your spot in Deuteronomy 24. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 5. So it's the book of Numbers chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 13. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 13. And this is also going to explain what we were talking about last night. That adultery for a man and adultery for a woman is different. Because adultery for a woman would be for her to sleep with someone that is not her husband. Adultery for a man would be for a man to sleep with a woman that is taken by another man. So in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 13 it says, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband. So that means, here it is, the wife dealt sexually with a man, or with anyone, for that matter, right? And the husband is not aware of the fact that his wife committed adultery against him. It be hid from the eyes of her husband. And it be kept close. When I mean it be kept close, meaning they keeping it a secret. The wife, she keeping that secret so close that the husband has not found out. And she be what? Defiled. It's the same thing as saying if she be what? Unclean, right? It says, and there be no witness against her. So nobody has seen it happen. So nobody could say to the husband, look, I saw your wife commit an adultery. Neither she be taken with the man, nor did she get caught in the act. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him. And he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. So this is going to explain to us how a man should deal with the jealousy if he suspects that his wife is dealing with another man or whether she's not. How should he deal with the jealousy? Let's find out. Let's jump down in the chapter. And we're going to read from verse 18. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord. So the husband didn't go and what? Slap her up. You know what I'm saying? He didn't beat her down. You know, he didn't put her away. He didn't divorce her just based on accusation or jealousy. He did what? Now he's relying on who? On the Most High to reveal the secrets. Remember how Christ said nothing that is done in hidden. Well, you know, there's nothing that is done in darkness that's not going to come to the light. There's nothing secret that's not going to be made known. And that is so true. At some point or another, it will always come out. So the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman. So the priest is going to make her swear before the Most High. If no man have lain with thee. So this is what the priest is saying. If no man have had any sexual relations with you. If thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness. Here's the uncleanness of Deuteronomy. Uncleanness with another instead of thy husband. Right there showing us what? What it meant in Deuteronomy 24 and 1 when it said that if he find no favor in her because he found out that she has uncleanness, meaning that she dealt with someone else besides him, then he's supposed to write her a bill of divorcement. Right here is explaining what the uncleanness is. If thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thine husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some men have lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people. When the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. So what used to happen to the woman that committed adultery and went to the priest. The priest made her drink of the water. They did a sacrifice to the Most High. And she was lying. She was in fact what? Committing adultery. When it said, make thy thigh to rot. Why the thigh?
Yeah. She opened it against another
quick. Right. She opened her thighs up. You know, because like today, right? Today a lot of women don't understand that you're not supposed to show your thigh to anyone but your husband. Because the thigh is basically your nakedness. That leads to, you know, what your husband is going to deal with. So the Most High is showing someone else saw that man's thighs. You know, his wife's thighs. So now he making the thighs to rot. The flesh to be, you know, eaten up right there. Yeah, you was going to say something wrong?
Mm-hmm. It shows a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. That's why they consider that something like sexual.
Right.
Whereas you have regular skirts that are decent.
Right.
And they go below them. It shows that they knew that thigh was naked.
Right. That's why, you know, when your sisters wear skirts, they're supposed to be below the knee. And like the brother was bringing out, like when they sell mini skirts, the reason there's a big sexual connotation with mini skirts is because they know you're showing your thigh. You're showing basically your nakedness. So when you wear skirts, it's supposed to be below the knee. The thigh rot, and then the belly swole up. Why did the belly swell up? That's the Most High mocking. Because she could have brought forth a child from this adulterous relationship. So now the Most High is making her belly swell until eventually what? It explodes. Right? It says, and this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thought to rot. And the woman shall say, Amen, Amen, which in the Hebrew is Aman, like how we send up our prayers, right? And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with a bitter water. So at this point, basically what happened, the Most High revealed that this woman, whether she committed adultery or whether she did not. Now today, it's the same thing. You don't have to go crazy and do something incorrectly and with the, you know, have this jealous spirit and you get into a physical fight with your woman or whatever. You know, deal wickedly. You might not have the water that, or have to do the sacrifice that we read in this chapter, but surely know that the Most High what? Judges correctly. The Most High sees everybody's actions. So what happens? He will reveal it if the woman is committing adultery. How you reveal it? Through a dream, through visions. I've seen it happen, you know, in the truth, where people have had visions of someone committing adultery, and it was true. Okay? So going back to Deuteronomy 24, and let's read it again from the top, verse 1, to see if we understand. When a man have taken a wife and married her, so it means that he dealt with her sexually, she's living in his house, she left her father, he left his father, right? They're now one flesh. And it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes. Now, what happened? Within that time, in their marriage, in their relationship, eventually what happens is that he no longer has any love for her. No favor, meaning no mercy, is being shown to her. Because, there's a reason why. Because he had found some uncleanness in her. What they mean that he found some uncleanness in her? He finds out that she was dealing carnally, dealing sexually, with someone else. So she basically committed what? The sin of adultery. And it doesn't have to be just another man. It could be another woman. It could be a dog. You know what I'm saying? It could be a cousin, whatever. Any kind of fornication that the Most High mentions, right? What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to listen to her when she says, I'm sorry, and let her stay in the house? No, remember Christ said, except it be for fornication. That's when you divorce. You cannot allow that person to continue with you in a relationship. Why? Because they're going to continue doing the same sin over and over and over again. They're not going to stop. The scripture tells us that. You know, that's why you see it all the time on these stupid shows where the woman is like, he told me he's going to stop. And what? You know, the guy continued. Or the guy believed the woman that, oh, she says she's going to stop. And come to find out every kid that he's is not even his. And he's paying child support for every one of them. Right? So, it says, then let him write her a bill of divorcement. Let him write her a bill of divorcement. That means that, you know, it's not just something word of mouth where that's it, it's over. No, he's writing this down to make sure that she understands that there's not going to be any change afterwards. That this is for real over. And not only to show that, but also to show the people eventually. Like, no, it's over. Look, here's the writing. You know, she got put away because she committed adultery. It says, and give it in her hand. And send her out of his house. So he kicks her out. That's the beautiful thing about ancient Israel. It's not like in America where the woman, you catch her committing adultery, right? You catch her sleeping with the dude. You might even have it on video and everything, right? Because now with technology, you could do that. And you go to the court system because you got married according to the whore of Babylon, right? You got married according to this system. You go to court to get divorced because you got married in this system. What does the Babylon the whore say? Well, she gets 50 of what is yours. 50% of what's yours. See, with the Heavenly Father, there's no 50%. You committed adultery, you get sent out of the house. He's like, no. What you have on, you can leave with. It depends on the person, basically. Because you got to understand that he's providing for the family. He's providing for the household. That's his wealth. He's like, I'm not giving you nothing. Get out of here. Technically, what's supposed to happen to that woman is what? She's supposed to be put to death. Let's prove that real quick. go to chapter 22 of the same book, Deuteronomy 22. And guess what? That is the judgment of the Most High for adulterers. That they get what? Put to death. Now, just because someone doesn't do that today, that doesn't mean that that judgment is no longer valid. It is still the right thing. When Christ comes back, anyone that commits that sin of adultery, how you think he's going to judge them? He ain't going to write no bill of divorce, man. He's going to put that person to death. So in Deuteronomy 22 and 22, that's where we're going to. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman, married to a husband, right there showing us what adultery is for a man. If a man is found having sexual relations with a woman that is married, she doesn't have to be, she could be betrothed, right? The marriage is still not consummated, right? She might have never met the guy, but her father what? Promised to that man that she's going to be what? Married to him. If that woman and that man laid down carnally, the scripture says, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shall they put away evil from Israel. So in ancient times, our forefathers would put those people to death. There was no tolerating of, oh, she got caught sleeping with so-and-so, so he, you know, she left her man and moved on with so-and-so. No, that was not allowed. Whoredom was not allowed in our nation of any kind. The women back then were honorable women. They despised what? Whores. See what I'm saying? It's not like today where whores despise holy women. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? You faithful to... Get out of here. It's 2015. You know what I'm saying? Back then it was like, you did what? You a whore. You need to be put to death. Like that, that's how it was back then. You know what I'm saying? Because why were women like that back then? Because they understood that that woman is destroying households. Not only her own, but the household of Israel, the whole nation. Because when you let that type of person stay alive, that wickedness spreads. Because then what happens? She stay alive and she starts seducing your husband. So that's not how chicks used to hate the whore back then. Like, what? She trying to talk to my man, seduce my man? No, she's an adulteress. She's not supposed to. She's trying to destroy my household. Because now my husband is going to be in danger. Now he's going to get put to death. My children are going to be fatherless. My children are going to be left as orphans or whatever. Now I don't have a husband that will provide me. Spending all his bread, all his money on this whore. And he's being left with nothing. Those are the reasons why ancient Israelite women hated what? Whores. But the ancient Israelite women have a problem with a husband having more than one wife? No. In fact, some of them gave their husbands another wife. Because why? Because they wanted to keep their husband happy. And not only happy, they looking at it as like, this will help our family. It will help us economically. It will help us bring more children, etc., etc., etc. And just to prove real quick that statement, that there's a reason why adultery is different for a man and a woman, is because first of all, men can marry other women. They can have more than one wife. Why? Because man was made in the image of God. Okay, we're the heads of the households. Whereas the woman was made for what? To please man. To be a help to the man. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 15. Just to show one example of how the Most High explains that it was allowed and that it's lawful for a man to have more than one wife. In fact, our nation was built by that. Jacob, our father, had four wives. That's what made our nation grow. The fact that we had that type of structure. And when you think about it, it's a beautiful structure because of the simple fact that every child could be taken care of, right? If let's say, like, you know, when you have more than one wife, you're thinking that you're losing time because of the next woman. In reality, what you're doing is gaining more time with your husband. Because when you have children, it's hard for you to actually be able to spend some time with your husband. Now you don't have to, you know, worry about a babysitter. No, go to your mother. Your mom is taking care of you today. You know, they send all the children to that one wife, let's say, right? Now she's spending time with her husband, like when they used to have no children. See what I'm saying? And when it comes to the chores and the responsibilities, the duties, you're sharing what? All that. So you're actually gaining time instead of what? Losing time. You wanted to say something, bro?
If one person, one woman is a help to you, how much more multiple women?
Right.
Now you're inheriting a team of helpers.
Right.
So you know things are going to get done at a better rate.
Exactly. So in Deuteronomy 21 and 15, it says, If a man have what? I thought it was only one. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated. So here it is, the Most High has given us a law to show us that you cannot deal in marriage with the spirit of hatred. So the laws of the Heavenly Father actually teach men how to be husbands and not how to be hateful, you know, to their wives. So here's the scenario. The man got two wives. He hates one, but loves the other. It says, and they have borne him children. Both of them have had children from this man. Both the beloved and the hated. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he that maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn. What is the Most High showing? That the laws protect the household. So here it is. The one that he hates, his firstborn son, comes from the woman that he what? Hates. The Most High, now his law is forcing him to show what? Love to her and to her son. Because even when he's dying, he cannot make the one that he prefers to inherit everything. See what I'm saying? So what the Most High showing us is that we cannot hate. You cannot marry another woman because you hate the one you have. That's not how the laws work. First of all, for a man to have more than one wife, he has to have the ability to be able to provide for multiple wives. Physically, food, raiment, food, clothing, right? Duty of marriage, meaning time. And then spiritually, you got to be prepared to know how to actually deal with one. So for some men, it's hard to deal with one wife. Like, dudes in the world, they go, oh man, I can't deal with this woman, right? They can't be like, oh, I can't deal with this woman, so I'm going to get another one. If you can't deal with the one that you got already, how are you going to deal with two? Okay? So, it says, he cannot make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So right there, the Most High shows us laws dealing with marriage. And you got to understand how beautiful it is that if the husband dies, those two women are not on their own. They got each other to protect that family. And whatever the husband left behind, he's passing it down to his sons. So they got each other to be taken care of. See what I'm saying? Just real quick, let's go to the book of Matthew 25. Because someone would say, well, that's in the Old Testament. We don't deal with that no more. Yeah, okay. There's no such thing as, oh, that's the Old Testament. The whole Bible we have to be obedient to. Not just sections of it. Okay? But for someone that might not understand that it's lawful, and not only lawful, by the way, if you have a problem with a man having more than one wife, then you have a problem with the kingdom. I'm being very straightforward with you. Because in the kingdom, what you think is going to be like, you have eternal life, right? And you don't think in all eternity your husband is going to like another woman? like I'm his only soulmate. No. It might be another woman he likes. And what are you going to do in the kingdom? You're going to be like, that's it. It's over. If you're not happy with me only, then we cannot be married. No, that's not how it works. Huh? Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. She'll be thrown in the lake of fire. Everybody will be grabbing her, men and women, like, what? What does she say? All of a sudden, you just see everybody, lake of fire, lake of fire, lake of fire. But basically, in the kingdom, that's one of the realities that we're gonna have, where the spirit of jealousy, first of all, jealousy is not supposed to be in women. As we read in Numbers 5, jealousy is only a thing that men are supposed to have. Why? Because you're supposed to get jealous if your wife is too flirtatious or too friendly with a man. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because she's your wife. Whereas with your husband, it shouldn't be like, oh, I'm jealous that he's talking to this chick. No, because guess what? That's your husband. He ain't going nowhere. In fact, in the world, when women act jealous about the man that they have, and they're like, they find out that he's with another chick, do they leave him? No, they don't leave him. They be like, he come to me, you the side chick, da 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 da, right? That's how they talk to them. When it could be something completely beautiful or something completely different, where it could be that they could actually be friends, they live in the same house, they help each other, their goal is to basically please that man. Now, there's no freaky, wicked orgies or threesomes happening. No, your time with that man is your time with that man. Her time with that man is her time with that man. When you're on your menstrual cycle, he can't deal with you anyway. That's her time, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of benefits. That's why the so-called white man destroyed the understanding of marriage from our people, so that that way they could become whores and whoremongers. You know, because you got some brothers that have that spirit naturally where they don't want to be stuck to one woman. If they were taught correctly from young, look, you could be married to more than one wife. Instead of them popping out babies with these women and bouncing on them, they'll be husbands to all these women, taking responsibility for the children that they have with these women. You wanted to say something?
No, I was going to prove. I was going to mention also that we have history that proves that it couldn't all be one man at the same time. That's why you look back at Jacob, Rachel, Leah, they kind of had a system set up. She'll be with him one night.
Right.
You know, at one point in the story, she has exchanged the mandrakes
right.
for a night. So
right.
it showed that they didn't sleep together. You know what I'm saying?
Right. For those of you that couldn't probably hear the brother, what the brother said is that in our history, when you read about Jacob, it showed that Jacob did not deal sexually with all his wives at the same time. That instead, they had to deal separately at their own night. Rachel and Leah had a system that one night was one, the other night was the others. How they even traded nights one day, they were like, let me get some of your mandrakes, which back then was it still exists, that herb or that fruit that actually helps fertility, right? It helps women to get pregnant. So she wanted some of it. She was like, if you want some of it, then let me get your night. She's like, ah, you get her. You get my night. So that's how it worked. That was Jacob and dealing with his household. Okay. Somebody had, you had your hand up? Right, Leviticus 18:18 teaches us that a man cannot deal sexually with more than one woman at the same time. It says that. So in Matthew 25, and I'm just going to read verse 1 and then we're going to jump down. Matthew 25:1, it says, Then shall the kingdom be likened unto 10 virgins. So the kingdom of God is being compared to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And those 10 virgins are marrying what? One man, a bridegroom. And when we jump down to verse 10, it says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And they that were ready went with him, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So verse 10, what does it show us? It shows us that that bridegroom married more than one woman that same night. And basically with the five wise ones, right, who he married, five at one time. And then the five that were foolish, when they came knocking, because it's a parable, they were not ready for the marriage. He said, I don't know you. So the same thing the Most High is trying to teach us today. All of us are supposed to be preparing ourselves for that marriage between the nation of Israel and Christ. The nation of Israel is not one person. It's what? Many, 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 many people. Okay? Christ is going to be the husband of the nation of Israel. He's one man married to millions of Israelites. And we're talking about spiritually, of course, but the reason is you have to understand the spiritual one is because the Most High is also teaching us how to deal with it on a lower level, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to our households. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 2. Just to explain real quick that parable, you should read it on your own. Matthew 25:1-13. With this understanding that it's explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. So in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2 it says, For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Now there's wicked jealousy and there's also what? Righteous jealousy. Like, for example, our God is a jealous God. Y'all know that, right? It tells you that in Exodus. Ten Commandments. He said, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, the earth beneath, under the waters that is under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Well, he's letting us know that if we worship other gods, we make him what? Jealous. Why? Because the nation of Israel was married to who? To the Heavenly Father. Okay? So there's a godly jealousy. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Who's that one husband? That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So instead of us being married to the Most High now, our husband is going to be in the future who? Christ. And the reason, Christ is not dealing with homosexuality, right? Like, I'm a man. How can Christ be married to me? Is he going to deal with me sexually or stuff like that? No, we're talking about spiritually. Because what you have to understand is that the role of a husband is the same thing as the role of a leader. So Christ is like a husband to our nation, a provider, a teacher, gives guidance, a protector. Because that's what a husband's supposed to what? Do, right? A husband wants to please his wife. So he gives his wife nice things. So Christ wants to please us. He's going to give us nice things. You know what I'm saying? You want to get gifts to your wives. You want to speak to her nicely. That's what a husband does. That's what Christ will do as our leader. That's why it speaks of him as our husband in a spiritual aspect. So also, that's teaching us as men how to be like husbands. If that means we have to sacrifice our life for our family, for our wife, even if it means we die in their place, that's what we will do. How the same way Christ taught the nation of Israel, we know that our responsibility as a husband is to teach our children, our families, our wives. The same way Christ provided for the nation of Israel. Christ fed people with fishes and bread. We know that's our responsibility to have the same care for our people, etc., etc. Everybody clear so far? So don't look at it as something like, oh, that's so wrong for a man to have more than one wife. Because if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with the Heavenly Father and with Christ. Because the Heavenly Father was one husband to a nation of Israel. In one point of the time, in one point in our history, the Most High compared himself to a man with two wives. Because the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. So he said, I got two women now. You got to understand that that mindset of Babylon the whore, you can't have that mindset. That's the wrong way of thinking. And when you look at it, you know, the whores out there, they be liking their men that sleep around with a whole bunch of women, and they don't do anything about it. They stay with them. You see what I'm saying? This is not the same. You know your husband can't sleep around because your husband understands that, first of all, he can only be married to an Israelite woman that is faithful, that is believing. Second of all, the one that brings in people to marriage, that brings people together, is who? Is the Most High. See what I'm saying? So, going back to Deuteronomy 24. Right back to Deuteronomy 24. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Ecclesiastes 26. So in Ecclesiastes 26, we're going to the Apocrypha real quick. The brother wants to pull out a verse. Ecclesiastes 26 and verse, excuse me, verse 6. Ecclesiastes 26 and verse 6. It said, but a grief of heart, in the Apocrypha, Ecclesiastes 26 and 6, but a grief of heart and sorrow is a woman that is jealous over another woman. And a scourge of the tongue which communicateth with all. So explain.
So right here we read that it's grieving to the heart for a man to deal with a woman that's jealous of a woman that shows clearly that it's not something natural. It's not something that's supposed to be possible.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you, if you couldn't hear him, what the brother said is that this scripture shows that it was not natural for a woman to be jealous. And I back then, any man that dealt with that, it was a grief. You know, it was something that was bothersome and it brought sorrow to the mind of the man. Like, why is she like this? That a woman to be jealous over another woman. Because if you love a woman, if you love your wife, she's going to know that. Especially a woman in the truth, she's going to know that. She's going to know that you love her. But you, if you end up marrying another woman, she knows that the love for her is not diminished at all. You know what I'm saying? In fact, it might be increased because of the simple fact that you end up appreciating her for how she is. The fact that she is such a she's such a holy woman. She's understanding. You know, she's your friend. Because the scripture calls your wife a above a companion and a friend. So basically, you end up appreciating her like, damn, you know. She understands that maybe my needs need more than, you know, what is being provided. Like it said in 1 Corinthians 7, to avoid fornication is better that I get married. She understands that, look, and she's the one promoting me to get married. Like Jacob is a perfect example. Jacob was married to Leah first. He was tricked into marrying Leah, but he really wanted to be married to Rachel. But he married eventually Rachel, and they were jealous against each other, not because he had more than one wife, but they were jealous because they were sisters. So they were competing against each other like, he was mine first and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the way we know they have a jealousy about a man having more than one wife was because once Leah started popping out babies, Rachel saw she wasn't having any babies. And Rachel had a servant, a female servant. And she went to her husband and said, you know, go and sleep with my female servant, have babies with her, you know, and those will be my babies. Competing with what? With her sister. And then when Leah saw she stopped having babies, she went and said to him, go and sleep with my servant. So they basically gave him a wife. Now he had four now. It went from two to four. So it showed that they didn't have that spirit of jealousy. Abraham and Sarah is another example. So basically, gave him a wife. But the Most High didn't want that to happen. He got upset with Sarah about that because the promise was that he was going to have a child from her in old age. Even though it was something that seemed impossible, nothing is what? Impossible to the Most High. So the Most High told her, no, that's not what I wanted you to do. But it shows she didn't have the spirit of what? She did not have the spirit of jealousy. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that show before.
But it just goes to show that it works.
No, you know what I love? When our people like to say that they're Africans. Right? A lot of sisters like to say, you know, I'm an African queen. Really? You're an African queen? Well, do you know that African women agree with a man having more than one wife? You know that, right? Because in Africa, that's not a problem.
Right.
You know, in Africa... Huh?
At all.
And the reason why it's not a problem is because they understand the laws of inheritance. So let's say the brother dies, like the laws that we read in Deuteronomy, right? The brother dies and he leaves his wife behind and land behind and stuff like that. Guess what? His brother inherits that woman as his wife and his land and everything. So they don't have a problem with that because they understand that is what it is. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's Babylon
there.
Yeah, it's really what it is. Is Babylon saying, it's like making women to think I'm the greatest whore type of, you know what I'm saying, type of mindset. Instead of thinking of it that to in a relationship is more than sex. There's family structure that you have to build. But yeah, but like you said, and all throughout the world, there's always been that. And when you look at it even scientifically, right, there's a reason why there's always more women than men. You don't think those women that can't get a man, and if they were told, well, you know he's allowed to have more than one wife, you don't think they would try to latch on and be like, instead of being dried up eggs, like, you know, because you know how it is, right? You got a lot of women that chose career before family, and now it's too late for them. Anytime they find a dude that is good, he's taken already. You see what I'm saying? So you don't think that the time will come where the Israelite woman's going to wake up and like, this doesn't work. I'm trying to find the standard based on Babylon's whoredom instead of how the Most High said to do it.
Isaiah
4 and 1, the prophecy. Yeah, that's basically what it is. They'll be like, that's a man of the Most High. The prophecy said what? Seven women will take hold of one man. Let's read it. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. Because last night we read about how the Most High has taken away the filth, right? Well, part of that is taking away that jealousy spirit. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. You know how many sisters I've met that came into the truth? That normally you don't have to ask them, but when they start asking for counsel, right? And they like, to give an example, right? There was a sister... She had three daughters by this one man. And she says that she wished she knew about the truth when she was with him. The reason she said that is because the reason she said the hell with him and left him is because he started dealing with another woman. If she was in the truth, it would have been like the hell with him. It would have been what? It would have been... You know, this is a new member to our family. But now, your daughters grew up without a father. And what they're doing is they're dealing with any dude that they find because they got a problem of self-esteem. Because, you know, that's what happens with women, right? If they don't have a father figure in the household, it messes them up to some degree. They start looking for a father figure outside. You know what I'm saying? Once they come to a certain age, they start dealing with a psychological messed up ways, you know, they start dealing with. So you have dudes pimping them and stuff like that because they know they're psychologically messed up. So that's what happened. So her daughters came out all jacked up, having baby father by this guy, that guy, that guy. No stability of any kind. Where they get that from? Their mother. They got that from their mother. You see what I'm saying? So Isaiah 4:1. In that day, And by the way, when it says in that day, we know that day is talking about in the last days. Seven women shall take hold of one man. Seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. When it says only let us be called by thy name, meaning what? Let us be married to you. Because this is showing that these are Israelite women that have understanding of the laws now. And they're seeing that what? That there's not that many sincere brothers. Even though there might be a lot of brothers that say the Israelites, let's say, when you start learning the laws, you start seeing, no, he's fake, right? And they understand that in order for a man to have mother and wife, he has to be able to provide her food and her clothing. But they're like, man, he can't provide for all seven of us. So they come to agreement to say to this man, we will provide our own bread. We will provide our own what? Clothing. Showing you that it's not from back then, because back then, women didn't never provide it for themselves. It's in this time period where Babylon the whore gives them what? Gives them the option, the career, the power, you know, to be able to actually do that. So they're like, look, I know you cannot afford to take care of me, but I could provide for myself. Let me be called by thy name. In other words, let me become your wife. It says, to take away our reproach. What is the reproach that they have? The fact that they are single and with no what? Children. That's a reproach. Why is it a reproach? Because not only in the eyes of the Most High, but even in the world, that, oh, she chose career over husband. Look at her. She what? She 45. Her eggs is drying up. She gonna die by herself with a cat licking her face. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what happens sometimes. It's the truth. You know what I'm saying? You know? And then they find her all dried up, crippled in the floor, the cat licking her face. Huh? Who the hell is that?
That chick was a billionaire woman, and she died alone and left all her money to the cat.
Word.
She was like a Donald Trump.
She was an Edomite, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. She's the only cat inherited all her millions.
All
the money, son. Wow. So now that's exactly what happened to all those women. So instead of them having that reproach, they're like, you know what? I know that part of salvation for a woman is to what? To bear children, guide the house, be a good wife, good, be a mother, be a sister. So they want to take that away from them. It says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. So you see, that's, you got seven women. That's ugly. You women coming up to you, what? Your man has seven wives. They're not going to say, like, that's ugly. They're going to be like, wow, that's beautiful. That sisterhood that you have, you know, your house is in order, your children have mothers, you don't have, you know, your children is well educated because you got the talent of math, you got the talent of science, you got the talent of this, this woman got this other talent. Now all the children are what? Are gaining the gifts of all those different kind of women. You see what I'm saying? The branch of the Lord is going to be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent. And the comely and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Which means that they receive what? The kingdom. For all that to happen, what has to have first happened before that? The filth has to be taken away from the daughters of what? Zion. So you ain't got to twerk for a man. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to show off your body for a man. You know, the only way that man is going to marry you, according to Isaiah 4 and 1, is if he sees that you are a sincere sister. Right? Because let me tell you something. One of the curses that the Most High gave our Israelite women is ugliness. But our women are actually the beauty of the world. They hate themselves. They hate their skin color. They hate their hair. They hate... But once... Israelite men, we learn, first and foremost, that what beauty is according to the scriptures. So even us, I have to learn how to, we have to be clean of the filth that the world teaches. So once you start seeing the sister with the unweavable sister, you know, the sister that looks like a transvestite because she's caked up with so much makeup. Because that's a new thing. Yeah, like yesterday when after class ended, I went took the one train. This chick came off the train. I thought she was a clown. That's how much makeup she had. They be wearing that a lot of makeup like a transvestite. Once the sisters start learning how to come back to the Most High, their natural beauty will be what? Will be perfect. You see what I'm saying? But what's going to make that man to love you is the spirit in you. That's really what it really boils down. You know, it sounds cliche, but it's not at all. Because when I look at example at my wife and I compare her to a woman in the world, I go, there's no woman like my wife out there. There's no woman that has her spirit, her understanding. There's no woman that has the obedience that she has, the way she talks, the friendship. I'm like, it don't matter what hole out there, she cannot touch a pinky toe. You know the pinky toe with the little messed up nail, you know, the one that barely has it, can't even touch that, you know. Like, get the hell out of here with that. It doesn't matter how much twerking you do, it ain't gonna get nowhere. You see what I'm saying? It's just that simple. And that's what sisters have to realize, that the most important thing for an Israelite man is what? Whether the sister is righteous. Because what our goal as a man is, we're trying to make it to the kingdom. We don't want a woman that's going to prevent us from making it. We want a sister that's going to what? Help us get there. Because at the end of the day, the goal is for the husband is to have his whole family make it to the kingdom so that they could be what? Together. Have eternity of, you know, blessings from the Most High. That's the point.